Welcome to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. Holly is a wife, mom, coach, and entrepreneur. She wears these and many more hats while running three successful businesses, a gym, online counseling and nutrition program, and commercial cleaning company. She brings a unique perspective to everyday life with her spicy, no-nonsense attitude. Holly helps her clients keep it simple with small tweaks that over time add up to big life changes. With that, let's get on with today's episode. Here's my friend, Holly Cochran, an incredible human you need to be listening to every Monday.
Hey, family, friends, and strangers. Thanks for joining the Monday Matters podcast with me. I'm Holly Cochran, and today what I'm going to be trying to break down into my layman's terms is talking about the role of our gallbladder. I know a lot of people, I'm related to people who have had their gallbladder removed and are living a perfectly normal lifestyle. I'm using my air quote fingers for my perfectly normal comment about lifestyle because I don't know that it's ever totally the same after you've been through any kind of surgery. Anytime you've had any kind of surgery, things change. The terrain changes. And so it's not exactly the way it used to be, but people are absolutely able to live and survive without their gallbladder. But before the decision is made as to whether or not you're going to get your gallbladder removed, I want people to really understand what the role of the gallbladder is. And before it gets to the point where it is full of gallstones or a diseased gallbladder, which can be dangerous. You don't want to be living with a diseased organ. So if it's already diseased, if you already have a significant amount of gallstones, a lot of the things I'm going to be talking about today might not be as efficient because these are preventative kinds of measures. So if you suffer from gallbladder pain, you have the odd gallbladder attack, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about gallbladder pain. If you've ever had a gallbladder attack, you know what I'm talking about. I used to suffer from them fairly regularly, like not weekly, but definitely a few times a year, I'd have a significant gallbladder attack. I knew exactly what it was. I could feel it coming on, start off with some bloating and some backache and up into my shoulder. The last gallbladder attack I had was paralyzing. Couldn't get my body to stand. I actually don't think childbirth was as painful as that last gallbladder attack I had. So anybody who has suffered from gallstones and gallbladder attacks knows what I'm talking about with that pain. It is severe. You do not want to have regular, and I can see why people would say, get it out. Take it out, do whatever. If I can live without this thing, take it out. It's causing me significant discomfort. I get that. I had decided after my last gallbladder attack that one of my goals in life was to keep as many organs as I possibly could. I did not want to be just removing things. I had back then for sure, I had this fear of, you know, the history of breast cancer in my family that I was someday gonna have to lose those. And the more I could keep hold of by lifestyle, the more I wanted to do that. So I started diving into the role of the gallbladder, understanding what it did, why it would dysfunction, and how I could better support the gallbladder. And so here's some of the things that I've learned. The liver is what's producing bile. So what's bile? I don't really know. It's a liquid, I know, but I just think when I think about the word bile, I'm thinking that like almost like sap, like a thick, gooey substance that is helping to remove toxins from your body. So bile helps to like take out the garbage. And I like to think about the garbage inside my body and that it's being able to be taken out. So even though bile sounds like something kind of gross, I'm embracing it. I want to be friends with the bile because it takes the garbage out. Okay, great. So my liver is producing bile, which we cannot live without that happening. Liver is one of those organs that is essential. We need to have a liver. The liver that produces that bile stores it in the gallbladder. Okay, fantastic. So we store it in the gallbladder. And why do we store it in the gallbladder? Because the gallbladder then talks to the rest of the digestive system. So depending on the food that we're eating, the gallbladder will contract and release the right amount of bile into the small intestine to be able to move things through to get the garbage out. And so if you don't have a gallbladder, it's just a slow drip. The liver still produces bile, and the liver then just continually drips that bile into the small intestine, helping things to remove the garbage. So it sounds like, yeah, no big deal. Like, as long as the liver is producing the bile and the bile is getting into the small intestine and it's taking out the garbage, things should be fine. And in theory, that's probably how it works for most people. But the problem is, without a gallbladder, there are other things that can happen with that continual slow drip. It can change the way your body absorbs nutrients, kind of important nutrients like our vitamin D and magnesium. I've talked lots about both of those and other health concerns that can start to evolve when we are low in vitamin D and magnesium, which are harder to absorb without a gallbladder. So there's other bigger picture issues that happen when we don't have a gallbladder. So if you're able to make some changes when you start realizing that your gallbladder is having some dysfunction, meaning it's causing you pain, the bile from the liver that goes into the gallbladder and then from the gallbladder into the small intestine sometimes gets too thick or gets stones in it or gets sort of caught up in the bile ducts and gets clogged. That's where the pain comes from. So if things aren't going well, what can you do to improve them so that you can improve the way that bile flows? So there's three sort of really basic ones that are lifestyle ones. And I would strongly recommend if you are suffering in any way with gallbladder pain, you take these three and create them or take them as sort of a real solid starting point, like it's gospel that you want to make some lifestyle changes in this area. Do it for a few months and see if you can improve the way your body, the way your liver produces bile, the amount of bile that it produces, and how it transports that to the gallbladder, and how the gallbladder then reacts and uses it during digestion. So the first one for sure is going to be diet. So you want to consume a diet that's really low in saturated fats and cholesterol, okay? So fatty foods, fried foods, deep fried foods, sugars and breads, those sorts of things are going to trigger the gallbladder. And they're going to trigger the gallbladder because they're going to make your liver work hard. When your liver's working hard, it's producing bile. And if it's producing a lot of bile, it needs to get it out of the liver. Where does it go? To the storage, which is the gallbladder. So the more fatty, deep fried, sugary foods that you are consuming, the more bile that's consumed and needs to go somewhere. So to slow that process down so that there isn't a backlog in that production, you just need to reduce your saturated fats, cholesterol, and then increase your fiber. So fiber-rich foods like fruits and vegetables and whole grains, those fibers help to take the garbage out as well. And so they help to move things along, and that bile doesn't sit in the gallbladder creating stones and doesn't have the opportunity to create those hard little rocks that are painful when they start to go through. They don't. When you're digesting fiber, you're able to clear that out a little bit better, and that bile doesn't sit there and become those hard little stones that when they do move, hurt like crazy to move. So reducing your saturated fats and cholesterol and increasing your fiber-rich foods like fruits and vegetables are the diet considerations that you need to really start to focus on if you have gallbladder pain. The second one seems like a pretty easy foundational habit around here as well, is staying hydrated with water. So dehydration can contribute to the formation of gallstones. And the reason for that is just imagine that thick bile that your liver's producing. When your body's dehydrated and starting to try to soak, absorb from other parts, like your gallbladder is going to start to try to take some of the water because you're dehydrated. It's not in your system. Then that bile doesn't move nearly as well as when you're hydrated, and it will sit and become those hard little rocks. So drink plenty of water. Avoid sugary and caffeinated beverages. They also can contribute. And when I say sugary, I'm even talking the diet drinks. All of those, any kind of pop and any kind of caffeinated drink in excess can be dehydrating, and then dehydration can lead to gallstones. So drink your water first and foremost, and, you know, limit or reduce or even eliminate some of those caffeinated sugary beverages. The third of three things that can make a significant difference is weight management. So doing number one, reducing those fatty fried foods and being hydrated will significantly help with your weight management, but exercise is the third piece to that. So if you're overweight, you want to work on making sure you get a balanced diet and then also be part of regular physical activity. Being overweight makes your liver work harder. When your liver's working harder, it's secreting the bile into the gallbladder. The gallbladder's working harder. And then that's when we start seeing what happens when you're overworked and stressed. You don't always do such a good job. It's the same deal with our liver and our gallbladder. If they're getting overworked, they don't always do such a good job. So getting to a weight that is, you know, right for your size, that's going to definitely help with your gallbladder health. I would start there if you're having pain. If you have been doing all the diet things, all the hydration, and you're physically moving on a regular basis and you're still having significant gallbladder pain, there are some supplements that maybe your body isn't absorbing on its own from the food that you're eating. Maybe you're not eating the right kinds of foods. So, you know, talking to a healthcare professional about the supplements that can help with detoxification and moving that garbage through so that it supports what the liver, gallbladder, and bile are supposed to be doing. There's supplements that can help you with that as well. These are all things you should be doing prior to agreeing to a gallbladder surgery. Now, the gallbladder surgery is sometimes important for people, especially if that gallbladder has become diseased, which is what happens when it hasn't been functioning for a long time. So if you do get your gallbladder removed and your body is now going to have this constant drip from the liver into the small intestine, if the doctor tells you you can resume a normal diet, just take a pause for a second and think about that. And maybe you think it's a free get out of jail card, but I know that people who are listening to this podcast are also able to critically think through that sentence just a little bit with me. If the air quote, if your normal diet got you to a place where your gallbladder became diseased, is it a good idea without the gallbladder to resume your normal diet? I would think not. I'm not a medical professional, and I am certainly not your doctor, but come on, if your normal diet had your gallbladder become diseased, I'm questioning whether or not maybe there shouldn't be some changes to the diet now. I know that's the hard part. No one wants to hear that. I get it. But after your gallbladder has been removed, you don't want to make that liver work harder than it needs to. So again, the things that I talked about in prevention are definitely important post-surgery. The fried and fatty foods, any of the saturated fats, those make that liver work too hard. And what's going to happen if there's nowhere for the bile to be stored because the gallbladder is now there? It's going to do a constant drip, but it might be an even faster drip, which is why some people experience diarrhea after they have had their gallbladder out. And then your body starts to figure out this new system and you don't necessarily suffer from diarrhea forever. But some people do. Some people never do get that body to absorb the continual drips like before. And so now that's your new normal. You get to have diarrhea. Because things are moving a little faster through the digestive system and there is less sort of gallbladder contracting and releasing of the bile, it's more of a steady drip. The absorption of some of the key nutrients that our body needs, it sometimes goes too fast for us to be able to absorb those. And so if the doctor hasn't said to you, you really should be on some supplements now that your gallbladder is out, things like, you know, increase your vitamin D, you need to take some more magnesium. If your doctor doesn't offer any of those suggestions post-surgery of your gallbladder, you should do a little bit of research about those sorts of things and see, because the long-term effects of being low in vitamin D, magnesium, other nutrients that your body is requiring can lead to the next sort of thing you're going to have to deal with and manage down the road. So you've just been looking after yourself as far as your gallbladder pain and probably doctor's appointments and maybe even emergency room appointments and then a surgery and a post-op. I would guess that you want to recover from all of this in the best way possible. So it's important for you to take a look at the diet that caused the diseased organ that required you to have it removed. Take a look at that diet. Take a look at that lifestyle. Take a look at how much water were you drinking? How many, you know, sugary drinks did you have? And then I strongly suggest you make those significant changes so that now that you're managing without the gallbladder and without the bile storage system that helps to take the garbage out, the garbage that goes in is significantly reduced. And by that, I mean all toxins, all, whether it comes from your food or from your deodorant, your hairspray, from the fruits and vegetables that you're eating, anything like that, that you have a little bit of a say in and a little bit of control of, I would do everything possible. And everything isn't possible, but I would do as many things as possible that I could in order to make sure that my liver didn't have to work too hard because it doesn't have its backup. The gallbladder is the backup plan to the liver. And without your gallbladder, you don't want your liver to be working harder than it needs to, because the next thing that happens is that liver becomes diseased. And that's also a big problem. And we've already talked about how that's an essential organ. So we want to honor it for sure. So that's my little soapbox about the gallbladder. And like I said, lots of people are going to live a very normal, healthy, active, productive life without a gallbladder. I just want you to know that when you are feeling that pain, it's not inevitable that it needs to come out. The last time I had a gallbladder attack was 13 years ago, because Kata was 2 or 3 years old, really little. And I have not had one, haven't even had a pain since. So I know that it's possible for some people to be able to change the lifestyle habits enough to get that pain to subside. And thank goodness it did. And reduce your symptoms. And then if you can't reduce the symptoms and the gallbladder needs to be removed, then make sure that you do all that you can, instead of reducing symptoms, supporting the organs that are going to be working in a little bit different way now that you've taken one of them out. We work as a symphony. We're all a part of an orchestra. All of our organs work together. So yes, we can live without one, but we do sound a little bit off when we take one out. And it's important to figure out how to best harmonize everything once again. Okay. I hope everybody is having a fantastic day. My thoughts go out to you if you are a gallbladder pain sufferer. I hope that this has been somewhat helpful, and love to engage in conversations about this kind of stuff. So reach out if you want to talk about gallbladder prevention and post-op hacks a little bit more. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Monday Matters, leave her a review, and share this episode on your social media. Should you have any questions about what you listened to or want more info, reach out and send her a message at K2 Health with Holly on Instagram and Facebook. She loves hearing from her listeners. See you next time.